God is so good. He loves us, loves us so much. And I think God has a sense of humor too. This past week, when Brother Glenn was here, he's a golfer. I said, "Hey, you want to go golfing?" I said, "Well, sure." I mean, I'm one of those real golfers. I golf about twice every 8 years. And so we went out there, and we just had, man, just a super time. And we got out there, played a little bit. And so we went over to this place and found some golf clubs. And said, I told him, I didn't know nothing. I said, "Glenn, if you'll pick it out," he says, "I'll buy it." And so we went over there to Taggart's. I mean, they had the thousands of the golf clubs, kind of old stuff. And so, man, I got all pumped up. Now, this is after my game that I enjoyed. I enjoyed. Out in grace. And so, went out there to the golf course yesterday afternoon, wanted to get to start hitting some balls. And man, he gave me one, I mean, I bought one of these big old huge golf clubs. It's a driver, has a head on it about that big around. I said, "Whoa, man, if I can swing that ball will go 10 miles. I got out there, first time, wham! And that ball went, phew. That ain't nothing to do. Mistake. That was the first mistake. And so I got out there, and about 3 or 4 times, those balls started doing this and this. So, and then I got to the real one. Got down, ready. Boom! And the ball went this way, and that big head on that golf club went that way. And so all of a sudden, you know, you kind of realize God loves us. And that was the end of my golf. No, but the story anyway. And so, but you know, God's good. And I love God so much. And one of the things that I think God loves us so much is that in this world, our society many times will try to beat people down. And they will try to label success in many different categories. But when you start reading God's Word, all of a sudden, you are going to come to this place, point in time, in which you discover for your own. I'm not having to tell you this. You will discover for your own how that you as an individual can be successful. Now, the reason why I say that you can be successful, I dare say that we have many in the congregation this morning that are successful. And if you were to ask them, if you walked up to them and you asked, "Are you a successful individual today in the world, in your time and space in which you're living?" Many of them would say, "Well, not really." And the reason why is because so many success stories have tried to beat down so many of the real success stories and lost sight of them, saying, "I don't even know what success looks like." And all of a sudden, God's Word comes back into focus. And then when you begin to recognize God's Word, you say, "Well, yes. And deep inside of your heart, deep inside of your spirit, you discover that I am successful. Now, your success may not look like what the world quotes success. I'm glad, because you've got something far more important for you. In so much that we want to take our scripture this morning, and we're going to be looking in the book of Matthew, as we've been studying on the Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember in chapter 5, we saw that we can be saved and secured. And then when we're saved and secured, we realize that in reality, we are light. We are salt. We are light. And when we say that in this world in which needs salt, in this world in which needs light, we have a firm foundation based upon the Scripture. And because of the Scripture, we have spiritual endurance that will be able to run the race. And then when we recognize that, then all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus begins to speak to us about individual problems, such as anger. Have you experienced anger? And then the need for reconciliation? Or somebody else's anger and settling out of court? Or adultery to stop lusting? Or divorce to soften the heart? Or swearing to speak simple truth, or retribution to understand submission, or when we have enemies to show kindness. And all of these things will be modeled after the Father. Now, when that begins to happen, Then the Lord Jesus says, yes, you're on the right track. We've dealt with these specific issues, but now let me hit some of the weighters. What about your giving? He says, give secretly. What about your fasting? Do it humbly and privately. What about your praying? Do it from heaven's viewpoint. What about your treasures? Oh, treasures? Look toward heaven and put everything in proper relation. That show heart for heaven in the midst of your treasures. And then he wants us to deal with worry. And so, in worry, he's trying to overcome, saying, look, guys, because you are successful, let's remove worry away. Pick up with me as we're going to begin in chapter 6, verse 25. And we'll read the entirety and then we'll come back and look at it. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, add one cubit unto his nature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, and shall not much more clothe you, oh, give little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, as we begin to break down this scripture, we're going to be asking a lot of questions. And some of these questions that I'll be asking you, say, oh, I've got that answer. But just think about it. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And as we approach this, I'd like for you to ask the question, what is your purpose in life? What is your purpose? Because you see, a perceived purpose in life creates value and creates motivation. I like this verse. It says, take no thought. Y'all ever think about food? Hey? How many meals do you eat? One from morning till no. I mean, you know, take no thought of food. What he's trying to tell us is there is a food cycle that all of us are part of. God made us that way, and I'm sure glad that God made us that way. But inside of this, I want us to understand that successful living goes far beyond the food cycle. And the food cycle is what we eat. It goes far beyond the pleasure cycle of what we drink. Successful living goes far beyond the cultural cycle, and that is the dress that we wear. So therefore, if we're going to live successfully, if we're going to live less stressed in our life, if we're not going to worry the way so many of us get so uptight about, we're going to have to learn these three things. You cannot live without food, but let not food be the primary thing upon your mind. You cannot live without drink, but let not drink be the primary thing. You cannot live without clothing, but let that not be the most important thing. But with kids, it's the most important thing, right? I mean, when they go off to school, it's not if it hadn't got the right brand on it. Daddy, I don't want it. Or, y'all know what I'm talking about, the kids. They kind of put pressure on themselves. Adults don't ever do that, do we? No, we don't care what other people think about us, do we? We don't care what people, how we look, do we? Yeah, we do. We do care about you. And that's okay. But the most important thing is not to allow what people think about you to formulate your success. Success comes from inside of here. And allow people to do, if I please God, and if God's pleased with me, it really don't matter what anybody else thinks, okay? Now, when we really get down to it, if I'm pleased with God and God's pleased with me, Other people shouldn't take over our emotions, our feelings, what we think, what we see, and how we do. Now, is that to say it's not wrong to look right? No, I think people ought to look their best, whatever that is. Just look your best. Be clean, be neat, take a bath at least once a week. I mean, okay, a little bit more. You need to be clean, you need to be neat. You need to be the best that you can be. Now, whatever that comes into category. But is that the most important thing? Jesus Christ says, no, that's not it. Food's not where it is. Drink's not where it is. Clothing's not where it is. Because there's something far more important than that. And that's you. That is the inner you. Now, what is that? God made you wonderful. You think God made you wonderful? Do you really think that you are a 10 in God's eyes? Do you really think that you are that special? Do you ever get just a little bit upset and say, God, why didn't you make me 6'2"? Maybe you're 6'2" and say, God, why didn't you make me 6'6"? Or if you're one of those that love to, well, God, did you ever discuss with God? God, why did you give me? Or why am I this way? Or why can't I think like? Or God, if I was just like, or if I could do this, or if I could run like that, then I'd be a much happier, more successful. God, you ever have a little discussion with God about the way you look, about the way you feel, about how you're wired, about what you can do and what you can't do? You ever have that discussion? Many people do. And all of a sudden they come back to God and say, God, what's going on here? But Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7 through 10 says something important for us. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness, and let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation and righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Now, woe unto him that has striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that is fashioned, what makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands. Or woe unto him that saith to his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? What's he saying to you? He's saying, can a piece of the pot tell the man who made the pot, you messed up? Oh. If God so created us, so beautiful and so wonderful, can we say to God, God, you messed up? We can't. He says, woe to the man. And then he says, woe to the child that says to the father, why did you have me? Or to the mother, why did you give me birth? Why? No, that's woe. What he's telling us here is, look, there's something so beautiful about you. I want you to understand it. And don't argue with God. God made you wonderful. God made you perfect. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that thou, my soul, knoweth right well. I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. And I like what the little boy said. I am good because God don't make no junk. Bad English, but good theology. Okay? I am good. You are fearfully, you are wonderfully made. Now, what does that mean? That means that we are individuals, and our success story is not in food. Our success story is not in drink. Our success story is not in clothing. Take those out. We're individuals. Because there's something far deeper, more beautiful, more wonderful. That success story is you as an individual. God said, you are wonderfully made. Now, because God made you wonderful, if somebody comes up to you and say, you're a dummy. Y'all ever hit that? You're a dummy. Then who's he talking about? Yeah, you could probably bring it up like that. Well, you take it up with my father. Okay. Who's your father? All right, take it up with him. If God made you perfectly and wonderful and somebody, that tells you that they're ignorant. Because God doesn't make dummies. God makes wonderful people in his image. That's what he does. And so therefore, if somebody starts talking about you, they're talking about God's son. And you start talking about God's son, he's going to take it up with you too. God made you wonderful. God made you perfect. God made you with purpose in mind. The Bible says in Revelation 19:5, and a great voice from heaven came, saying, praise God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. So God made you wonderful. God made you to praise, and God made you for his glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's just capture this before we go to the next one. Are you ready? Can you perceive your purpose in life as being created by God? Created wonderfully, created with purpose, and therefore culture, society, any individual cannot come along and tear you down because you know you were created in the image of God. Nobody can take that away from you. Now, when you understand that, then inside of you, that success ratio begins to bubble up. The second thought that we want to come, is your life important to God? Are you more important to God than the fowls of the air? That's kind of a question. Are you more important than the birds of the air that fly? And the answer would be yes, because an understanding of great worth builds character. And how does it work? The Bible says in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then answer this question. Are you much better than they? Are you much better than they? And I think that demands an answer from each of us that we would say with an affirmative, yes, Lord. And so therefore, if God provides for the fowls of the air, what is God going to do for you? Is he going to provide for you? You're far more important. So you can see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, both male and female. He created he them. So that tells us, now I'm in the image of God. Now, I want to go forward. Now, God loves me. Now, God provides for me. So, ask yourself the question. Can I improve on God's design? Are you in a better position to improve your life than God? Probability is no. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to go out and exercise. Ooh, that four-letter word. Exercise. Work. Diet. Trim up. Trim out. Get in shape. Those are all good words, folks. Those are difficult words. But, wait a minute. Can I improve on God's design? Just think of the way God made you. In fact, if you ask the question, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? If you worry about it, are you going to grow taller? No. So why worry? Why worry? What God wants us to do is, he wants us to accept our position in Christ, and that will help us to reduce our life in many different areas, because we understand that stress is reduced when we understand that God has a plan for us and that he is in the process of working this plan out. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 48. I want you to see something real quick here. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48 in verse 17 is where we're headed. Question as you're turning there is, does God have a plan for you? Are you following that plan? I am special in his eyes. I'm created in his image. I'm successful because I'm in the image of my Father. And the world is not going to tear me down. Nobody can tear me down because Jesus Christ says I'm in his image. So now, God, give me a plan. Give me a plan so that I can work. Give me a plan so that I can be successful. And here's the plan. The plan is found in Isaiah 48, in verse 17. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go, and that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then they had peace, be as a river, and righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also shall be as the sand, and the offspring of the bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Here is the plan. Number one, I want you to see. The maker of the plan is God. Got it? Well, that's what he says. You, Lord, are my Redeemer. And he says, I'm the Lord. So therefore, the plan that we're working off is not my individual plan. It's God's plan for me. Secondly, he says, the plan teaches you what's good for you. He says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord. And then he says, who teaches you what is good for you. You know what's good for you? You know what's good for you? Yeah. Well, how do you know? Jesus. Teach you. That's a plan. I'll teach you. And not only will I teach you, but then I'm going to lead you. Because the plan guides you down the right path. The Bible says, and lead you along the path you should follow. What is our mandate? What should we do? We should listen. We should listen and obey. The Redeemer teaches, leads. We listen, we obey, and then what's the result? The result is this. Then you will have peace flowing like a river. Then you'll experience the things that are right. That's righteousness. You will experience prosperity. That is, your descendants shall be as the sands along the seashore. And there will be security. Then there would have no need of destruction or cutting off of your family name. So, what's the point? The point is this. When you follow God's plan, it's going to be peace, it's going to give you the right direction, how to live right, it's going to give you prosperity, it's going to give you security. And so, therefore, in light of that, that is God's plan, and he's working in this way. Let's see how he develops it as we go back to Matthew. As we go back to Matthew, the question becomes, does God care about you? Can you improve your master's desire? A look at creation will reduce the worry, because I can trust God. In verse 28 it says, and why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Not a rain. Solomon. Who was he? The wisest man that ever lived. Solomon, who was he? He's the guy that built so much of the temple and all there in Jerusalem with the big, huge buildings and the glory and the gold. I mean, if it could be thought of, Solomon had it built. And all of that glory. Take one little lily in the field. One little lily. That's small. So if we begin to look at God's creation and say, hey, God does care about me. Hey, God does love me. Hey, God does want me to reduce my worry. God, I just look at the creation and say, God, you're big. God, you're in control. God, you care about what I do. God, you care about what I do. And God, you care about what I wear. God, care about me. Then God looks to you and says, hey, I've got a purpose in your life. The Bible says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which is, and tomorrow which is cast into the oven, shall not much more he clothe you, O ye of little faith. For we begin to understand, is it faith in your trust? Faith in reality begins to build trust because God loves us so much. Can we trust Him? Can we trust Him to meet our next payment? Can we trust Him to meet that car payment? Can we trust Him to make that electric bill? Can we trust Him to buy the food in the culvert? Can we trust Him to meet those medical expenses? Can we trust Him to help us in school? Can we trust Him to help us to get along with people? Can we trust Him? You see, both the rich and the poor, they have a strength. The rich comes along and say, well, I've got what it takes. I don't need to depend upon God. And the poor comes along and says, well, I don't know that God will really meet my need. In both instances, we have people who are not experiencing peace. I don't need God. God can't really meet my need. But faith says, yes, I can depend on God. If I'm rich, I depend on God. If I'm poor, I depend on God. So what am I going to say? What's really going to motivate me in my life? Take no thought of what you shall eat. Take no thought of what you shall drink. Take no thought of what you shall put on. And why will I do this? Because my Heavenly Father knows what I have. Last thing I want you to look at me this morning is really, what are the keys to successful living? And we're going to isolate verse 33 and 34 because we understand God loves you. We understand that God has a plan for you. We understand that God is in control of the creation. God is in control of my life. We understand that I am successful because I have a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. And I understand then God has made me perfectly and wonderful. And I understand that God has given me purpose in life. So all of these things kind of come back around to saying, okay, God, let's boil it down. Help me today. When I walk out tomorrow morning, Lord, I want to be able to say I am successful in the eyes of God. I am successful in my own heart. I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got security. I want to know this, God. How can I do this? Please help me. We're picking up with verse 33. And the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first successful living prioritizes the kingdom of God. When you take a test tomorrow at school, is God going to have anything to do with that test? See, if we think God doesn't have anything to do with that test, then why do I need to depend upon God? Wait a minute. Does it mean then if I belong to God and I am to serve God, then what I do at school is a reflection upon my faith in God? Does God care about what I do in school? Does God care about how I prepare for this? Does God care about the result of the test? Because the result of the test is to be a reflection of how I disciplined my life. Yeah. No. All of a sudden, when God comes into the picture, what I do at school matters. When God comes into the picture, the relationship that I have with other people at school matters. When God comes into the picture, then the relationship with the people that I work with matter, because how I live is a direct reflection of what I believe in God. If I live rebellious, then I'm rebellious toward God. If I live with kingdom authority, with everything I do, focusing upon the authority in the kingdom of God, it makes a difference. That's the reason why he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything that we do must begin with the kingdom. Seek ye first. God first. Is God first in your life in the morning? Is God first in the decision that you make at work? Is God first in the relationship that you have with people? If we're going to be successful, and we can be, then all we have to do is focus on making the kingdom of God number one in our life. And that affects everything. Our marriage, our dating world, God, your kingdom. But seek ye first the kingdom. So successful living prioritizes the kingdom of God. Number two, successful living seeks to live the right way. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, everything that comes out of us, are we saying this is God's way or is this my way? Which is it? Is it God's way or is it my way. You say, well, many times I don't know whether it's my way or God's way. Those are the hard parts. So therefore, ask yourself the question, does it line up with God's word and will it bring Him glory? If it lines up with God's word and it brings Him glory, then you're probably on the right track. So what do I have to do? Successful people, successful living, seeks to live the right way. If I were to ask you, are you living right? Many of you would say to me, yes. And you know what? I would agree with you 100%. Yes. You're seeking to live and to do that which is right. That's part of the success story. Number three, successful living depends on God to provide. In other words, the Bible says, and all of these things shall be added unto you. How much of those things? All of them. Why are we? What? God's not holding out on us. God will provide all of the things that we need for His honor, for His glory. But what He wants us to do is prioritize the kingdom of God. What He wants us to do is seek to live right. What He wants us to do is depend on Him, and He will add. Doesn't say subtract, it says add. He'll take where you are, and He will add to the needs that you have, and that's called God's provisions. Number four, successful living focuses on making the most of today. Is anybody worried in here? How much out of the day do you worry? Don't answer. I mean, sometimes if you want a list of 10 things to worry about, I'll give you 10 just like that. I mean, you can. But what does God want us to do? When we're focusing on the kingdom of God, does God want us to go around worrying about everything? God wants to. How do we speak? Successful living focuses on making the most of today. The Bible says, take no thought. Don't worry. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things for itself. In other words, we begin to understand God's timing. It really is God's timing. Now, successful living says, I'm going to place God first. Successful living says, I'm going to seek to live God's way. Successful living says, I am going to depend on God for my provisions. Successful living says, I am going to wait on God's timing. And I'm just going to deal. Successful living meets the challenges of today in the power of God. Living successfully is not without conflict. Spiritual warfare is a part of living successfully. So therefore, focus on one day at a time. In other words, God's power. That's what He desires for us to do. We're going to live successfully. We've got to live in the power, in the ability that God has given us through His Holy Spirit. Hey, all of a sudden, I'm really not that far. You worry about tomorrow? How about today? You got enough problems for today? You know what God says? Let's just take a break. Sufficient today is the evil there. Sufficient today are the calamities there. Sufficient today are the challenges of today. Sufficient today is the opportunities. And one thing that I've learned, I wake up every day with challenges in front of me. There is not one of us in this room that you do not face multiple challenges. Multiple challenges today. So therefore, in the power of God, what then is success? When Jesus Christ is King, living for the kingdom, when we put God first, we live the right way, depending on His provisions, accepting His timing, walking in His power, three things are going to happen. Number one, we'll have right living. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You put all of these factors together. Righteousness, peace, and joy.
that's yours. Because you are a successful person. And if you are experiencing righteousness, and if you are experiencing peace, and if you are experiencing joy, you can say to anybody, anywhere, I am successful. I am successful. But that means your life back. Now trust that that's where you are. If you don't have righteousness, if you don't have peace, and you don't have joy, then the probability is this. Number one, either you're not saved or you're not born. Or number two, you haven't come into the right fellowship. You may have the right relationship with Christ, but you may not have your fellowship with Christ. And you can say, well, how do I get that fellowship back in order? Well, that's when we said God first, God's way, God's provision, God's timing, God's power. In that relationship, all of a sudden, the two will become like that. Hey, that's believing. That's the normal Christian life. It's not the advent. It's not the sub. It's not the super Christian. It's the normal Christian. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. God said, let's believe. Jesus, today, Father, we accept you as our Lord and Savior. Today, Lord, we accept our position in Christ. Today, Lord, we proclaim that we are successful. Because we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is alive and living in my heart. And I thank you, Father, for the success filling this room. That the world can't take it away. Because God can. Peace. Joy. Thank you, Lord. Help us to realize just how great that is. Even with a scar. And Father, for that person who's not experienced that, they've not experienced that peace, that joy, and that love, help them, Lord, to come into a relationship with you. And for that one who is struggling for this, help them, Lord, to work on their relationship with you. With the two. Father, we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Not giving your life to Jesus Christ. I encourage you this morning. Say, Brother Robert, I'd like to give my life to Christ. If you have and you can say to me this morning, well, Brother Robert, I'm not experiencing that peace. I'm not experiencing that joy. I'm not experiencing that security. I'm going to ask him to do something. I'm going to ask you to be very honest with God and say, God, I want it. Don't ask you to say, God, I want it. When you make that proclamation where you are or at the altars, when you make that proclamation, God, I want it, then have the courage to receive it. Do that. I push you. I want you to like questions. Like a joint of the skirt, you'd like to do that. I'm just looking at it.